Un negro.
This is Luca from Necra, and you're watching Death Metal Interview.
Death Metal Interview.
This song is called Snatch in the Cave.
If it's an old sound, if it's an old death metal sound and style that you are looking for, this is the episode for you guys. We have vocalist and bassist Luca Indrio of Necrot, and he will talk about the band's brand new album, Lifeless Birth, which came out April 12th, 2024, and it is in your hands. You have full access to this album. Highly recommended on behalf of your friend James. Before I forget, let's welcome everybody, boys and girls. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful day where we still spin around the sun. Right now, I want to introduce to you one of the new songs, Cut the Cord. Lifeless Birth. Be right back. melted face once again. This is pure death metal for everybody out there. And awesome to have you guys tune in once more to That Metal Interview Podcast. And you are listening to Necrot, a song by the name of Cut the Cord. If you like Cannibal Corpse, Death, the Leprosy, Scream Bloody Gore years, this is especially for you. And thank you, Luca, for making time and chatting about the band's brand new spanking album, Lifeless Birth. Let's cut the chat and go directly to our chat with the great Luca Indrio of Necrot. Enjoy. So, very first question, where are you? What part of the planet are you at?
Oh, right now?
Yeah.
Well, the band is based in Oakland, California, and I lived there from 2008 to 2020, and now I'm in Mexico. I live in Mexico. I've been living in Mexico for the last 4 years. I'm in La Paz, in the Baja Peninsula.
Okay, nice. I live on the border of...
Where you at?
Eagle Pass.
Okay.
So you guys just wrapped up a U.S. tour. How did that go? I mean, that's not easy, right?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
If you love good music and good podcasts, you'll love Roots Music Rambler. I'm Jason Falls. My co-host Francesca Folinazzo and I talk to the singers, songwriters, musicians, and more in Americana, alt-country, bluegrass, folk, blues, and beyond. We share our own takes on the latest news in the space and recommend new music for you to explore every episode. Come get to the roots of the music you love. Find us at RootsMusicRambler.com or go wherever you get your podcasts and subscribe to Roots Music Rambler.
Yeah, it just finished. I just got home 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It was awesome. We were on tour with Municipal Waste and Ghoul and a band called Dead Eat. And we did, us as Necro, we did 32 shows. And we did the whole U.S. and we played some shows in Canada. And the tour was starting and ending on the East Coast. So since we're based in the Bay Area, we had to go to the East Coast, and then we came back to the West Coast, then we went to the East Coast again and came back to the West Coast. So we did four times the whole U.S.
Wow.
It was like 300 hours of driving and 32 shows.
Wow, that's crazy. I mean, it sounds easy when you say it, because they're just words, right? But when you sit in the van or whatever, RV, for hours and days, and
how do you guys so much?
How do you get used to that? How do you...
You're just looking forward to play the show, you know? You do it because you do something that you love doing, so it's like you just do it.
Yeah, you got to promote your music, and yeah, of course, the but some people don't know what you go through, you know? You're not sleeping in your van, in your home. You're not in
your
bed.
Yeah, no, for a long time. I was gone from home for 55 days.
Wow, that's a month and a half.
My wife was really happy to see me. Couple of days ago.
Very cool.
It was good to be home. So we have more tours. We have a headlining tour starting June 5th through July 12th in the US and Canada. And then we're going to do a month in Europe at the end of July to the end of August.
Really?
But yeah, we're going to do a headlining tour with a new album with Lifeless Birth, because coming out April 12th on 10 Crimes record.
Yes. Because I have it in my notes, Lifeless Birth, April 12th, Tank Crimes. Are you excited for that release? Are you guys excited, right?
For sure.
Yeah, very excited, man. It's always really cool to have a new album, because you just put so much work into making the album, and you want people to be able to listen to it. So we can't wait for people to be able to listen to the album.
Wow, so which is your favorite track, favorite new track?
Well, my favorite track might be... Probably Superior is track number 3. He's very aggressive and fast, and then he has like a groovy slow down part in the middle. It's like, I really like it. I think it was one of the best compositions on the record.
When I first heard of you a couple years ago, I interviewed your drummer, Chad.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so when I first heard you guys, Necrot, you guys have like an old-school death metal kind of deal. Was that on purpose? When you guys jam out,
does that sound on purpose? Look, when we started in 2011. And when we started, Chad was 18. And I was, I just turned 24. And we were listening to a lot of death metal from the late 80s and early 90s. And that was our main influence when we started, for sure. We were just listening to all that shit nonstop. And you can hear it in our music. And then I feel that like our music kind of progressed. And now there is a lot more influence that goes into it. Like, you know, we're not just a band that tries to sound like another band. Like, we listen to many different kinds of metal. And I feel that there is a lot of influence from many different styles of metal. And not just death metal.
Yeah, so what bands do you listen to? Do you have any favorites, like Death or Deicide or something?
Yeah, Death is my all-time favorite band. I have a human tattoo on my body. And, oh, yeah? You know, we used to listen to a lot of... you want to see it?
Sure. Oh, yeah, badass.
You got the other guy on this side.
Oh, shit, you got both. Oh, and, badass. What year did you get those?
I don't know, maybe 2014, something like 10 years ago or something like that.
Badass.
And Morbid Angel, Altars of Madness, Immolation, Dawn of Possession. You know, not just those albums, but like, you know, those are like albums to die for, you know, it's amazing.
I can hear, when I hear Necrot, I can hear some Leprosy and some Scream Bloody Gore.
Sure, sure, definitely.
I can hear little pieces of rhythms and not copying, but you can hear the influence, you know.
No, of course, of course, of course. We all get influenced by something, right?
Right. Where'd you get the title for Lifeless Birth? Where'd that come from?
Well, like, you know, I was going through, like, I don't know, like, when I was writing the album, like, my father almost died, and my grandmother passed away, and there was a lot of, like, that we had to deal with the pandemic that kind of, like, you know, made everybody's life momentarily disappear, kind of. So, like, you know, a lot of, like, thinking about mortality. I mean, we were already thinking about it on our albums before, Mortal and Blood Offerings. But, like, yeah, something, like, about the fact that everything dies and everything is disappears eventually, because it's, like, you know, when you die, there is someone that remembers you, and then those people also die, and then your memory is gone, and then eventually, you know, you did whatever you did in 100 years or more, even this world is going to disappear at one point. So it's like nothing is forever. So it's like Lifeless Birth. It was kind of like, you know, like when you're anybody who's born on this planet is already sentenced to die and be completely forgotten. So it's kind of like the birth of a life that one day it will not matter that you existed. So that's kind of like the point of Lifeless Birth. It's kind of like this cycle of existence that ultimately will be like they never existed, all of us. So that's kind of like the point behind Lifeless Birth, like another life that is born but already sentenced to be gone and forgotten.
That's just horrible, the reality of life, huh? I mean,
well, it's horrible, and it's also like just what makes life having sense and meaning. Because if we would be all here forever, we would probably get bored. We'd probably not care about anything at one point. You already experienced everything so many times that you don't give a shit anymore. So it's like, you know, it's a necessary reality.
I've read in different books, it's a different subject, but I've read different books that some people back in the, before BC, I guess, they would live for 200, 300 years, 400 years. So I don't know if that's true, but it's just a...
Who knows? That's still like such, that's still a limited amount of time compared to, right, to everything.
So this album has 7 tracks, and then your prior album has 7 tracks, and then the first album has 8 tracks. Well, yes. Why 7 and 8? Why not 10 tracks, or is that what the label said, or...
No, it's because our songs are long. And it's like, you know, we if you're doing a vinyl, it's like after a certain amount of length, the quality of your audio start getting shittier. Because you can really fit maximum like 18, 20 minutes per side before the quality of the audio start degrading. You know, then you would have to do like a double LP. But that would be so expensive and inaccessible. Yeah. Then you would have to sell it for so expensive. It's like, So it's like 40 minutes, 42 minutes is kind of the limit. So it's like if you want to put 10, 12 songs, they would have to be shorter. But like we are a band that writes long songs because our songs, they're like 5 minutes, 6 minutes, five and a half. We even have a 8 minute song. So it's like you can only fit as many.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Badass songs. So who's the riff master here? Who comes up with the riffs and the lyrics and all that? Is it you?
I write all the riffs and all the lyrics since the band started in 2011. And Sonny Reinhardt, our guitar player, he writes the guitar solos.
Oh, okay.
Which there is a lot of guitar solos on the album. So he writes, of course, his own guitar solos. But yeah, I write all the riffs and lyrics. Because when we started the band in 2011, it was just me and the drummer. It was just the two of us for a year, and then Sonny joined in 2012. But the formula was always the same since the beginning.
It sounds badass as a three-piece.
It is, right?
Don't add another member, but the question is... Did you ever think about maybe adding a second guitar player? You don't need it.
We never thought about it. No, never. Also because it's like, you know, we play together for 13 years now. And like, we have a chemistry that you build through time. So it's like, if you throw someone in the mix now, it wouldn't make any sense.
Yeah, it's all badass. So I'm just...
And there is so many good bands in the past that were just three piece. You know, a few years of Motorhead or ZZ Top.
Corner, Rush...
So many, Cream.
Oh yeah, Cream, Primus, badass.
Yeah, true. Yeah, there's a lot of bands that were three piece and they were doing great. So I think we'll do just fine.
Yeah. So where do you get your ideas from, Luca? When you're writing a new song, or the lyrics pop into your head, or do you sit there with a pen and you know what, I got to write something here?
Look, there's something about the lyrics that is, to me still is the most complicated part of writing an album. More complicated than the riffs and the song structure is like lyrics is what takes me the longest time. But like I'm always taking little notes about lyrics all the time. Like, you know, if I hear something, if I think about something, if someone is talking about something and gives me an idea, I always take a little note. So then when it's time to write the lyrics for an album, I do have little notes that I've been taking throughout the years. And but then it's still like such a long process. Like the way I do it is like every day I dedicate an hour or two to that. I just sit alone listening to the songs and to the rehearsals or whatever I have, or I record myself playing the songs on guitars, and even if we don't have yet the recording or a demo, it's like, and I just sit there and think about it and try to write stuff. And then I like what's complicated is like, because it's like you have to fit what you want to say in a certain vocal patterns, and sometimes what you want to say, it would take more words to say it, but they don't fit where you need to go. So it's like you have to find different ways or find different words to substitute some of the words that they would have the right amount of syllables so that it would fit. So it's like it's a whole Tetris of trying to fit what you your content into a certain amount of space that sometimes is not enough. So then you have to find a way to get your concept out using different words. So it's a very long process. To me, I can write the whole album, the riffs, in 2 or 3 months, but then I need 4 or 5 months to finish the lyrics.
Yeah, it's another subject. When you write a riff, Luca, do you picture the drums? How it's going to go?
Yes.
A 4-4 beat or a blast beat or a half
yes,
count?
Yes. That's how it works. Like, I always picture the drums, and then I write the whole song structure. This riff goes into this riff, and there's going to be this change and whatnot. But then I get together with Chad, our drummer, Chad Gailey, and, like, he has inputs. It'll be like, hey, what if in this part is like I hear these different drum beats? So then we try them. We try the different drum beats. You know, the song structure doesn't change. It's like this part is the intro, it stays the intro. This part will be the chorus, it stays the chorus. And we try different drum beats, because then there is the second part, because it's like I write everything imagining the drum beats and all of that. Then you have to actually play with the drum beats. Then you have to record it. Even if it's just with your phone at band practice, it doesn't have to be like a great recording of it. And then you go home and re-listen to it. And then eventually you do two different versions with different drum beats. like, you know, there is a process there that he goes of discussing the drum beats and recording them and listen to it again, because sometimes when you play, it's hard to do a real listening while you're playing the stuff, because you're playing it, so eventually you're having fun, so then it sounds great, but then you have to sit back and record it and re-listen to it, so then you might change a drum beat for another one. Sorry, I was about to sneeze. Anyway, yeah, there is a process that goes into the deciding the drum beats, but usually the song structures doesn't change. So some parts become maybe a little longer once I write the lyrics, or a little shorter, depending on how many lyrics I want to fit in there.
Yeah, to speak of yourself now a little bit. At what point did you find out that you had a voice like that? I mean, not just anybody can do a death metal voice, you know?
Yeah, I didn't. Like, I really wanted to be the singer in this band, because I had bands in the past where I invested a lot of time, and then eventually the person who was the singer or another, the songwriter, the guy who write most of the songs, would decide that the band was not their priority anymore. So then after putting a lot of time, you would end up with nothing. So when I started Necra, I specifically wanted to be a band where I wrote the songs and where I sang, so that I knew I could trust myself, you know, that I wanted to continue the band forever. So it's like when I started singing in Necra, I've never done it before. And you can hear it in our first demos that it's just someone trying. Like, you know, I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying. And I remember I would go to band practice. We would practice all the time. And like, I would lose my voice. My throat would hurt. And then I would try again after 2 days. And again, I would lose my voice. And like, and then slowly you start learning, your body starts figuring out a way to do it where you don't hurt yourself. And then you start learning, you get more confident with it. It's like, it's not that one day I woke up and I was like, oh, I know how to do this.
Yeah.
But then you do it for years, you do it in the wrong way, then your body finds the way, the right way to do it. Because it's something that you cannot teach. It's not like playing the guitar that you can teach. Like, someone can try to tell you like, oh, breathe like this, or feel that your hair is coming out from here instead of there. But it's all like very theoretical shit. It's like, it's really hard to do it. Yeah. It's not that someone explained it to you and you're like, oh, okay, that's how it's done. It's like, you just do it, you keep doing it, you do it more, and then eventually you get better and better at it, and then you get to the point that you know how to do it. And then that's it. You can do it as much as you want, and you're not hurting yourself, and you're not losing your voice. Then you can do it on tour for 40 days straight, and you still have your voice. But that comes with time, in my opinion. It's like, it's not something that you just learn in 1 year. It's something that is going to take you a few years to really master it, you know.
It takes time, yeah. So how about on the road, Luca? How do you take care of your voice on the road? Do you party a lot, or do you drink beer? Do you not drink cold drinks? Or
no, yeah. I do everything normal. I drink beers, and like, I try not, like, I don't smoke them. Like, I don't smoke tobacco, but I smoke weed. But like, when I'm on the road, I don't smoke them much. I smoke once every a few days or something like that, if someone passes it to me. Also because you're so tired on the road that like, you don't want to, I don't know, fuck, I'm already so tired, I don't want to smoke that much weed. But like, it's mostly like, it's more than taking care of your vocals, it's making sure that you don't get sick. Because it's like, you're going through so many different temperatures. Like, you know, on this tour we were in Florida, and it was 80 degrees, and then we were in Canada, in Montreal, and there was like 15 degrees, you know, I'm talking Fahrenheit. So it's like, you know, you're going through so many different temperatures that like, you know, some places very humid, some places dry, some places really cold, other places warm. So it's like, it's more like making sure you don't get sick. So like having a warm jacket for when you're in a cold place, and maybe try to take some vitamins, and trying to sleep when you have the chance, you know, try to sleep. If you have a chance between staying up all night or going to sleep, go to sleep, you know, because you need to recover.
Yeah, you gotta know what to risk.
Yeah, totally. But it's like, at this point, I don't lose my voice by singing. It's like, it's only if I get sick. So it's like, it's more like taking vitamins and make sure you don't get cold, and you know, don't party too much. But then there is always that one night that you just played in front of 1,000 people and all your friends are there that you haven't seen in a long time, and they want you to take shots, so then you're taking some shots, and like, you know, it happens, you know, it happens, you know. Yeah. And then there is the adrenaline, and then also like, you're working so hard all the time, because long drives, unload the van, set up this, set up the, load the van again, drive. So it's like you're doing so much that there is always that one night that you're like, I don't give a shit, I'm gonna get fucked up, you know. And for as much as you want to be the good guy or control it so you don't lose your, but it's like I'm at the point that like my voice is solid. It's like I don't lose my voice, you know. It's more like making sure I don't get super sick.
Yeah. So how about, I'm sure, I mean, we're all human here. Has there been a day where, you know what, I'm tired today, I don't want to put on the bass, I don't want to go on stage, I just want to get some rest, can we cancel this?
No, that doesn't happen, because it's like, that's the fun part. You want to do that. You know, your whole day is leading up to that 40 minutes, an hour that you're going to play. And that's the fun part. That's why you do it. That's why you put all that effort, is for those 40 minutes, an hour, where you get to share your music with your fans and have that adrenaline rush, and you get to play your songs. And like, that's why you do it. So you never want to cancel that. It's like you wish you could cancel the 9-hour drive, or you wish you could cancel having to load all the heavy stuff and fit it back in the van or the trailer. Like, if you could cancel some of that, but it's like you definitely don't want to cancel the show. That's the good part.
That'd be cool, right? Just fast forward.
I know, right? To the next show. Yeah, I know.
Let's go from Miami to Jacksonville, fast forward.
And that's it, yeah. But yeah, you don't want to cancel the show. That's the good part.
So how about, you mentioned unloading equipment. What do you carry on the road? You carry a whole bass rig, a two-stack, one stack?
Yeah, 8-10 cabinet, and we carry 3 guitar cabs and 2 guitar heads, and then all the drums, and then all the merchandise, which is like all the records, all the beans of t-shirts and whatnot. It's a lot of stuff. Every day you're loading and unloading a lot of stuff. And also like the weather, sometimes it's like, you know, sometimes it's raining, sometimes it's snowing, sometimes it's really hot. You have to do it like under all situations. So then you have to be kind of smart with, like, you know, drying yourself, changing your clothes. Don't stay with like a pair of wet socks a whole day, because then you're gonna get sick, because you're already not sleeping that much. So you have to really be disciplined a little bit. Like, you know, you are there for a purpose, which is playing the shows. You have to do it at your best. So it's like you have to be careful to like take care of all this side stuff that you do on tour to not get sick and to be in the best condition possible to play your best show possible.
So for us musicians, what do you carry on the road? What are your cabs? Can you give us a rig rundown real quick, I guess?
We have Marshall cabinets, JCM 800 guitar head, and a JMP Marshall guitar head. Usually it brings another JCM 800 just in case. I have a 810 Fender cabinet with a Sun concert lead head. And I'm playing through a 1978 Gibson RD Artist. I have 2 of those that I bring on the road just in case anything happens. I break a string, I have another bass ready. I don't have to, you know, sorry guys, I'm going to change string for 5 minutes. You know, that doesn't look that good. Kind of breaks the vibe.
Yeah.
And it's funny because I usually never break a string, because I'm always changing strings every 2 or 3 days, but I always bring another bass, and we bring another guitar, of course, just in case. So you gotta have double of everything. You know, I usually bring two identical bass heads just in case something happens to one of it. You have to have 2 of everything, so you don't have to, if anything breaks, or, you know, you don't have any issues. You guys just got it. You have another one.
Something that people don't think about. People just go up in front of the stage and they're rocking out, and they don't know these things, that you have 2 heads and 2 basses and...
Yeah, and often, trees. Like, you know, often that second head never get used. Like, on this tour, I brought a second guitar head, bass head, and a second bass for the whole tour, and they never were used, but they were there just in case.
Let's speak of your album cover. Or should I say covers? Who's the artist here? It's badass stuff. Is it one guy?
He's a European guy from the Netherlands. His name is Marald van Hasseren. And we've been working with them since 2016. And he is an amazing artist. He's an amazing artist. He's a great dude. Like, he just works really well. And he's got that, like, attention to detail. All of his, you know, all of his work is very detailed. You can tell that he's, like, a very talented person, you know, very talented artist. And he's able to capture like what we want on the cover. He's able to make it look great, because you can have a great album, but like
you need to have a great hard work too. You want the whole thing to look the way it's supposed to.
Badass. I mean, all three covers, all your stuff is, they're all badass covers. Changing subjects here, you guys made the May cover for Decibel magazine. How does that feel? Yeah. How does that feel? And does that mean anything to you guys? It's just a magazine, or does that mean anything?
No, it's great. Decibel has been great to us. It's like we respect a lot that magazine. It's one of the only magazines in the United States that really covers extreme music and underground bands. And I think the work they've been doing is very precious, is important. Like, you know, they organize a beer metal fest, and every year they do the Decibel Tour. They called us for the Decibel Tour in 2019 with Cannibal Corpse, Morbid Angel, and Blood Incantation. And that was really important to us to, you know, get to play with those levels of bands, with, you know, get to see Cannibal Corpse and Morbid Angel every night for a month. Wow. How fantastic is that, you know? Wow. And like, you know, for us, like Decibel, they've always been supporting us a lot. They are fans of the band. You know, they're true fans of Necro. Albert, the editor, really loves us. He loves our records. And like, you know, he has been very supportive. And for us to be on the cover of the magazine is a reason to be proud of ourselves, you know.
Oh, yeah.
It's fantastic.
How is it touring with those guys, legends like Cannibal Corpse and Morbid Angel? Are they cool guys, or are they like...
No, people? They're amazing. No, they're really cool. We made really good friends with... especially Steve Tucker. He's such a great dude. Like, we smoked weed together and talk about anything. Like, and the Cannibal Corpse guys are very professional. They're really nice. They gave us some good advices. And it was cool because both bands, they told us, they were like, oh, you guys remind us of what we used to do a long time ago. You know, it's cool because they don't always get to go on tour with the bands of death metal or similar style, so it's like for them it was also cool to be on tour with us. They were like, oh guys, you guys are, you know, we got a lot of compliment from them. They told us, they were like, you guys are great, you guys remind us of us when we were young. It was a really fun tour. It was so gratifying, and it was such a sick night. Like, you know, it was such a sick show every night, so everybody was in a great mood.
I missed it. I'll try to catch you guys in Texas next time.
We'll be there in June or July.
Yeah, I'll be there for sure. So what's next on your agenda, Luca, after this interview?
Thanks for the interview. We have, you know, the album coming out April 12th, Lifeless Birth. I want to tell people to go check it out, listen to the theme from the beginning to the end. And June 5th, we start our headlining tour together with Bat and Street Tomb. And that tour is going to go almost everywhere in the US and Canada. It's 6 weeks long. And then we have a 10-day break, and then we go to Europe for a month, July 26th to August 26th. But yeah, the most exciting thing right now is our new album coming out in just 3 weeks, and, you know, the tour that is coming up. And I wanted to say to our fans, thank you so much for being so badass, because we just came back from our tour with Municipal Waste and Ghoul, and, you know, we have the best people following us. Like, that they really go crazy at shows, and they really enjoy it. They're true fans of metal, and, you know, it's fantastic to go from city to city and meet them personally. It's just been such a pleasure, you know.
Very cool, Luca. You're a cool guy. You're a cool death metal rock star, and hopefully I'll catch you guys in Texas soon. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
I hope so, man. See you soon. Appreciate the interview.
So don't forget to support Luca and the guys. The best, probably the best three-piece death metal band on the globe. In my opinion, my two cents. And I truly, truly hope you guys check this out. Great album, Lifeless Birth. It's just a great, great piece of work by the band. Seven badass songs, and he talks about why only seven, if you paid attention. Anyways, don't forget to subscribe. Don't forget to download us wherever you find it, whether it's on Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and so on and so forth. Thank you for downloading, sharing, streaming. Much, much appreciated on behalf of your buddy,
James, all the way from the state of Texas, where we are still spinning around the sun. It doesn't stop, huh? Anyways, don't forget to keep it metal.
That Metal Interview.